Amen.
Amen. Take your Bibles, find 1 Peter, and turn to chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. I printed Mr. Harvey Meisler's obituary and put it on the board in the hallway. So if you've not seen that, or you weren't aware of it, or you just need to see the details, or it's there for you. It's available, and certainly it's available online. It's not very difficult to find. Look at it, please. Let's go to verse 6. And this chapter is very practical. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen, settle you. Look, please, verse 9. Look at verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. My theme for this year, as you know, is steadfast. Steadfast means fixed. It means determined. It means consistent. And it's so important in the Christian life to be consistent. My text verse is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, to be steadfast, to be consistent, even among the most mature Christians, the most committed Christians, sometimes it is a challenge. Sometimes it's a struggle, even in the good times. How much more difficult when someone faces affliction? Would you look again at verse 9? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And afflictions. So this is being steadfast. This exhortation is to be steadfast during afflictions. And it is afflictions that will frequently discourage and disappoint Christians. Many times they stop serving. They become inconsistent. And so I ask you to think tonight about being steadfast during trials. It's more difficult during a trial. Steadfast during trials. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith? Dear friends, let's pray. Good evening, my Father in heaven. I thank you for the scriptures. I thank you for the inspiration, the preservation of the Bible. And I thank you for the exhortation to be steadfast. And I certainly am grateful that our Savior is the same yesterday, today, and forever, indeed steadfast. And I ask you to help us to be steadfast in this changing world, in these uncertain times. I ask you to help us to be steadfast. I ask you to help us tonight. I ask you to encourage my people. I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Whom you resist steadfast in the faith. I want to encourage you to be steadfast even in the midst of a trial, even in the midst of affliction. Affliction. Affliction is because of this old fallen world. Affliction is sometimes the result of a chastisement for disobedience or carelessness or foolishness. But many times it's just a trial. Just a trial, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, the trial of your faith. So many times, believer, you just face a trial, and it's a trial of your faith. I would point out to you that anything that comes your way, it is permitted by God. Now, let me back up and put a condition on that. If you know the Lord Jesus, anything that comes your way, it is permitted by God. And so it is a trial that he permits in your life. And what's the answer to it? Well, the answer is faithfulness. The answer is trust. The answer is to be steadfast. Now, about these afflictions, trials, troubles, whatever they may be. Sometimes they're physical afflictions. Sometimes they are financial reversal. Sometimes there's some great disappointment in life. Sometimes it's a relationship issue. Could be any number of things, any number of things. Afflictions, consider afflictions and be steadfast. Now look for just a moment at verse 8, please. Verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I want to say to you, first of all, afflictions are persistent. They always come. They're always around. Minor, sometimes major, but there's always afflictions. There's always trials. There's always adversity. There's always trouble. And the illustration concerning the devil, it says, as a roaring lion. A lion in the wilderness never stops looking for prey. Even after he's made a good kill, and he may be a little more relaxed, he still is noting any prey that might, he's a beast of prey, he's a predator, and he's always looking for prey. And I want to tell you, the devil never stops. Now, the devil can only be one place at one time, and it would appear to me he spends a lot of time these days in Washington, D.C., but I don't know that. But his demons are all about us, and we're in the midst of a spiritual warfare. And the battle, it never, ever stops. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power, spiritual wickedness in high places. Think about that. We wrestle not. And I heard Brother David Reynolds talk about this, and I've used it myself. If you're playing football, you run a play, you run it hard, you get banged up and bruised up, and then you go and you have a huddle. If you're running basketball, you run hard, but then you stop and you throw the ball in, and you have at least a pause. In wrestling, you don't ever have a pause. In a wrestling match, if you let up, if you're not careful, you're going to be caught in a hold that you can't escape. We wrestle. It's all the time, all the time. And the Christian life is like that. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's always looking for some opportunity. And so your exhortation is this, be sober, be vigilant. Don't let your spiritual guard down. And be mindful that he's always looking for some opportunity. Now I would say to you once again that he can't do anything except it's permitted by God. And go back and read the book of Job. He couldn't do anything to Job that God didn't permit. And Job was in the midst of a trial, and he didn't know all that was involved. And that's the same way with you and me. In the midst of a trial, you don't know all that's involved. It's a spiritual trial, and there are things going on that at this time we may not fully understand. Well, we don't fully understand. We don't. We sing a hymn, we'll understand it better by and by, and that's true. But right now, you're to walk by faith and not by sight. And your adversary, the devil, he's a roaring lion. He never quits. And he'll put anything he could do to you, he'd put it on you like that. And I'll remind you again of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 12. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. Now, the Lord said, you can do anything you want to him, but don't touch his body. Chapter 2, that changed. So the Lord says, behold, all that he has is in thy power. The next statement is this. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and immediately he unloaded everything he could on Job. Immediately Job lost his children. Immediately Job lost all of his wealth. His life changed just like that, because whatever the devil could do, he would give it to you, not a little bit here and there, not in stages, not progressively. He'd unload the whole thing on you if he possibly could. In chapter 2, he was given more liberty, and he could take Job's health, and he did that immediately. Immediately. And that's what he would do if he could. Now listen, he can't take your salvation, and he can't pluck you out of the family of God if Jesus is your Savior. But he can disappoint you and discourage you. And if you're not careful, he can ruin your testimony. So you're exhorted to be sober, be vigilant. When you let your spiritual guard down, so to speak. He's good at looking for opportunities. And the times that I've had disappointment in myself have been when I was blindsided. I was not expecting something. My guard wasn't up. I wasn't vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So know this, afflictions are persistent. They continue. They continue. Notice they're also prevalent. Look, please, at the latter part of verse 8. Now, verse 8, it says, whom resist? Resist the devil. Resist steadfast. Always guard up, always the same, always consistent. Steadfast in the faith, knowing, now watch this, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And here's the point, every believer has trials. In the whole world, every genuinely born-again believer has trials. That's what it says, and we know that's true. However, I would insert right here that we have been so blessed to live in America. And in America, we have liberty, we have opportunity, and we have the opportunity to worship our Lord and practice our faith as we desire. In much of the world today, Christians, they really face afflictions that are unthinkable. They face persecution. They face opposition. They lose property, and many times their lives are martyred. Throughout the world, Christians suffer unspeakably, and we have been so blessed. These trials, these afflictions, they're prevalent. They're commonplace. Everybody faces them. 1 Corinthians 10:13 starts out this way. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And then it continues, and there's a promise that God will not permit you to be tempted above that you're able, but he'll make a way to escape. But you'll be pressed pretty close to that line wherever it is, or your faith wouldn't be tried, it wouldn't be tested. And faith that is not tested is faith that may not be, that's not proven, and faith that's not proven may not be genuine. So it says, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And we all face adversity. We all face temptation. We all face trials. And afflictions are prevalent. They're persistent. Everybody faces them. They're always right around the corner. Someone has said you're either in the trial or you're just coming out of a trial or just going into a trial. But there'll be a trial. Now, I have to say, and I think most of us here tonight, as I look around the room, can say amen, the trials that I personally have faced have been minimal compared to what I read about in the Scriptures, what I know about in history, and what I observe in the world today. And I thank God for that. You know, sometimes we are, oh, pity me, and you think about how much people really do suffer. Trials, afflictions, they're persistent, they're prevalent, but in the long run, now this is hard. This is hard. In the long run, they're profitable. And that is verse 10. Verse 10, look at it. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. When you're in the midst of trial, you've got to remember Romans 8:28 and just park right there on Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, it doesn't mean that it's easy to deal with these things or to understand these things, but we know something. We know that God works all these things to our good. Again, 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And the afflictions are profitable. Latter part of verse 10, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, complete, mature, strengthen, or establish, strengthen, and settle you. And so in the long run, they're profitable if they are faced steadfastly, faithfully. You learn things in the valley you don't learn in the mountaintop. I walked a mile with pleasure, and she chattered all the way. But she left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she, but all the lessons that I learned when sorrow walked with me. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. the afflictions. They're persistent, they're prevalent. In the long run, they're profitable, though it doesn't seem so at the time. So what's the answer to it? Be steadfast. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do what you know is right. Live by convictions. There are challenges to consistency and to be steadfast in the good times. How much more so in the difficult times? But that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where faith is really tried. Be steadfast. Look at verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? The faith is the body of doctrine that we believe. It has been passed from generation to generation throughout the church age in the same way that the scriptures have been preserved throughout the church age. They've been passed from generation to generation. So those things we believe, those New Testament doctrines, they're referred to collectively as the faith. We are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And you read that so frequently, the faith. Now the just shall live by faith. And faith is to believe God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is to exercise that trust and just to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him and trust Him as Savior. But the faith is the body of doctrine we believe and is the basis for our convictions. So you are to be steadfast in the faith. The things that you believe from the scriptures, the things that are clearly settled, the things you know, and that's the basis for your convictions. So in the good times, in the challenging times, in the midst of trials, even in the midst of chastisement, Lord chastens His own. He disciplines His children. Why? Because He loves us. In those times, be steadfast. Be steadfast. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We sang a while ago, and they included this statement. It's from Matthew 25, verse 23. The Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Faithful, steadfast. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Whom you resist, steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Be steadfast even in the midst of trials. Stand with me, please, for prayer. We agreed to pray for these many requests. Let's do that. But let's examine ourselves. And if you're here tonight and the Holy Spirit has convicted you, maybe something that I didn't even address at all, won't you surrender and won't you get it settled? Let's examine ourselves and let's endeavor to be consistent Christians. And if you're here tonight and you're not certain about eternity, I don't know. I would make an assumption that everyone here tonight has an assurance of eternity. But that might be foolish because I don't know the heart. The Lord knows your heart. If there's someone here tonight and you're not certain about eternity, by all means, let me or someone here tonight help you to get that settled, thus saith the Lord. And let's pray for those many requests, so many important needs. Dear Father in heaven, I thank You for this evening. Thank You for our church family. Thank You for the privilege to be together in assembly tonight, together in worship, and also in prayer. Help us to be mindful of the many requests and to minister as we have opportunity, but help us to be fervent in prayer. I ask You to meet the needs of the many individuals that we've discussed this evening and those names of individuals that we didn't discuss at all. Please work in their lives. I ask You to comfort the family of Mr. Harvey Measler. And I thank You for the assurances we have and for his testimony and for our Savior. I ask You now, please, to bless this time of prayer and this time of invitation. And this I ask in my Savior's name. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. As our pianist plays softly a hymn of invitation, brethren, let's pray for these many requests. If you need someone to pray with you, there's someone available. And if you're not certain about eternity, won't you let me or someone here tonight help you? Won't you do that?